Hey, everybody.
Morning.
Good to see you all here this morning. Hope everybody's had a good last week, and we look forward to a new week that the Lord has blessed us with. And again, if you have missed all the messages and all the talk, you know, today we're going to be centering our thoughts, our songs, the message on praise and thanks with the season that it is. It's a good time to always reflect on all the things that we can be thankful for and praise the Lord for all that He has blessed us with. Should do that every day, but we're definitely going to take opportunity today to focus our thoughts on that. It's always keeping thoughts and in our prayers, all those that we're concerned about that are dealing with health issues. Please continue to keep those in your prayers, especially Sister Marcella. She continues to recover from her injuries, and Brother Don as he takes care of her. So before we get started, if you would, bow with me for a word of prayer, please. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the day that you blessed us with. We're thankful for the day that you have given us. We're thankful for this time that we can come to you and worship, to be able to sing songs of praise to your name and study from your word. And especially today as we offer up our thoughts and our thanks to you, dear Lord, for all that you've done for us. Truly, we have much to be thankful for because you have blessed us so richly. We're mindful of our loved ones that are able to be here today for various reasons. Please be with them. And if it is physical illnesses, please be with those and give them good health as you will, dear Lord. And give them strength to get through what they're trying to get through. And if it is of a spiritual sickness, dear Lord, please be with them. And give them the strength that comes from you, dear Lord, that you can be with them and guide them and be the strength to help get through the troubles that they're dealing with, dear Lord. But again, we are thankful that we can be here. Those that are here physically, dear Lord, or those that are able to join us by other means, we're thankful for the opportunity that we have to all join in our thoughts and our hearts and in our minds to be able to come to you and worship you, dear Lord. Always help us to be bright lights and shining examples to those we're around, dear Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, so we're going to sing a couple songs here this morning before Brother Bobby's lesson. And Leslie was telling me, oh, I bet I can figure out all the songs you're singing today. And you know, yeah, there's kind of some ones that are just kind of sitting on a tee that I got to hit, right? So, but, you know, maybe I'll throw a curve or two at you, but our first song this morning is going to be, O Thou Fount of Every Blessing. And again, we think about how God has so richly blessed us with. Yes, it is truly a fount of blessings that, you know, we are overflowing in abundance in this country, for sure. But I think each and every one of us, when we really stop and think about how we've been blessed, truly it is our cup overflows with blessing. And there's a line in this song that says, you know, because of all these blessings, it calls for songs of loudest praise. I love that line. It's pretty cool. So when we sing this song, you know, it's calling for our loudest praise. So we're going to really sing out with this song as we open our worship this morning. So we'll sing all three verses of O Thou Fount of Every Blessing. Let's sing. O Thou Fount of every blessing, to my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me ever to adore thee, may I still thy goodness prove, while the hope of endless glory fills my heart with joy and love. Here I raise my hither by thy help I come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He rescued me from danger, interposed his precious blood. Oh, to grace how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy
thy goodness I confess, bind my wandering heart to thee. Never let me wander from thee. Never leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above.
Amen. Our song before Brother Bobby's lesson is going to be the song, He Gave Me a Song. Maybe not the song you always find in the Thanksgiving part in the back of the book. But when you think about, you know, we sung about all maybe the physical blessings that we think about and think about how richly blessed we are. It's not just physical blessings that we have, but it's spiritual blessings as well. Being a child of God definitely grants us a lot of blessings, and we don't need to take that lightly. So we have truly been blessed not with just physical things, but spiritual things. And because of that, it should put a song in our heart. It should put joy in our life to know how God is looking out for us. He is our Heavenly Father, and He cares for us, and He has richly blessed us with. So that's why I chose this song, because I think it's we do need to be living a joyful life because we are truly blessed, not only physically, but spiritually as well. So we're going to sing the first and the third verse of He Gave Me a Song. Sing.
He took my burdens all away up to a brighter day. He gave me a song.
He gave me a song.
A wonderful song.
A wonderful song.
A wonderful song I now can sing. In my heart joy bells ring. He gave me a song.
He gave me a song.
A wonderful song.
A wonderful song. He gave me a song.
He gave me a song.
To sing about.
To sing about.
He lifted me.
He lifted me.
From sin and doubt.
From sin and doubt. Oh, praise His name.
Oh, praise His name.
He is my King.
He is my King.
A wonderful song.
A wonderful song.
He is to me.
He is to me.
I am redeemed, no more
to die, never to say goodbye.
He gave me a song,
he gave me a
wonderful song,
a wonderful song.
And some of these days in that third land,
sing with the chorus,
friend. He gave me a song,
he gave me a song,
a wonderful song.
A wonderful song, He gave me a song.
He gave me a song
to sing about.
To sing about.
He lifted me.
He lifted me
from sin and doubt.
From sin and doubt. Oh, praise His name.
Oh, praise His name.
He is my King.
He is my King.
A wonderful song.
A wonderful song.
He is to me.
He is to me.
Turn the service over, Brother Bobby.
Good morning.
Good morning.
As Jesus often did, He started His lessons with a story. So today I'm going to start my lesson with a story, and hopefully we can connect together. I told Tim a while ago, I was quoting him in this, because after the story, I put in there, like Tim often says, now where am I going with this? So after we get through the story, you may wonder where we're going with this. But anyway, we're going to start this kind of like a parable, I guess you'd say. And we're talking about Thanksgiving, so what better to start off with than the story of Thanksgiving itself? At least one of the stories. If you go back and study, you'll find there are multiple stories about Thanksgiving and when it started and where it started and how it started and all this. But one of the favorite ones, at least to me, in 1620, which was 400 years ago, matter of fact, August, I guess, somewhere late in August of 1620, there was 120 people that secured a sailing vessel known as the Mayflower, and they sailed away from England to search for a new land. They were looking for a land where they could build a colony, where they could be free to worship God as they thought that they should. And the Church of England at this particular time was persecuting many people because they were pulling away from the Church of England. They were doing things that they didn't think was right. And so there were several people that had pulled away, and they were known as separatists. A lot of them were, because they'd pulled away. Well, some of their leaders had been put in prison, and some of them even executed because they were not faithful to the Church of England. And so this inspired these people to leave England and to search for a new land where they could worship like they pleased, a place where they could build a colony of their own and not be forced to do what someone else wanted them to do. But they landed in what is now known as Plymouth, Massachusetts. They came in and intended actually to land about Cape Cod, along about where New York is, and there along about where the Hudson River comes in. But when they got there, the current was bad and the waters was rough. Instead of landing there, then they sailed on further and they landed at Massachusetts, and they named it Plymouth, and so that's what it's known as now, is Plymouth, Massachusetts. Now, the first winter, about half of the ones who came over on the Mayflower died. They died because of a lack of food and also the exposure to the cold weather. Now, you remember when they came there, they didn't have houses to come and move into because they were coming to make land for themselves. They had to build their own houses, and so most of them stayed in the boat that winter instead of somewhere else, and so about half of them died. They said the group that was hit worse was the women. There was 19 women that left England when they left on this voyage, and there was only, I think, 7 of them left after the winter was over that first winter, and so it was kind of rough on them. I think maybe 57 of the 102 was still left after the first winter that they had there. Now, when they got there, it took them about 60-some days to come from England to Plymouth. And so many of them were tired and exhausted and all this kind of thing. So it was about mid-November when they came into this area. And so if you know anything about that area, by that time it was already getting cold. They were having ice and snow. And so it was kind of rough on them not having some warm place to stay in. And so because of exposure and the lack of food, then about half of them died that winter. They made friends with the Native Americans, the Indians that lived in that area after a while. At first, they were not friendly with one another, but they got to know one another better and came to be friends. And the Indians taught them how to farm. As a matter of fact, furnished seed for them to plant that next spring whenever time came to plant seed. They had like corn, beans, squash, things of that nature that they gave them seed, and they planted those and had the raised a crop that next year. That fall, then, in November, after a bountiful harvest that they had reaped, they declared a 3-day Thanksgiving celebration. And so they were going to have 3 days that they would be thankful for the different things that they had. And it was said that there was more of the Native Americans that was there at this feast than it was of the pilgrims. There was about 100 of the Native Americans there, I think. And so they had wild meat. They said there was plenty wild animals, the wild turkey and a lot of other fowls that they used for meat. And then the Native Indians, they went and killed, I think, 5 deer and brought that they had for this feast because besides the vegetables and things that they had. And so they were thankful for the things that God had done for them, even though there was problems that they'd had and many of their people had died, but yet they were thankful that God still had given them life and given them a good harvest and so forth. And so they spent some 3 days then in this harvest to thank God for the things that he had done for them. Now, where do I go with this? Well, here's where we go. I'm comparing us to the pilgrims. We're pilgrims in a land of bondage. This world is not our home. This world is not a permanent place for us. It's a place where we're strangers and pilgrims. We're sojourners here. And this land that we're living in is a land of bondage. You may say, well, how is that? Because we have freedom of speech, we have freedom of press, we have freedom of religion. But I say to you that Satan tries to bind us to sin. And so this place that we live in then is a sin, is a bondage of sin. And Satan is there to try to see that we're bound by the bondage of sin that is there. He don't care how much we suffer. He wants us to be on his side. He wants us to be away from God. And whatever he can do to pull us away from God, that's what he's going to do. If you have some doubt about that, then let's go back and notice two or three stories from the Bible that will show. Adam and Eve, for instance, you know, God made a garden east of Eden. And it was a beautiful place. It was a place that had everything that they needed. He placed them in the garden. They seemed to be friends with God. They talked back and forth, maybe in the garden and so forth. And so Satan entered in the picture. And so he began to paint it a little bit different and to spread doubt within their minds and led them to resist God, to go away from God, to break his commandments. In other words, drove a proverbial wedge between man and God. And so God drove them from the garden, a beautiful place that he had made for them. And now Adam had to make a living for himself. He had to earn his bread by the sweat of his face. And there was thorns and thistles that came up and made it hard for him to make a living. You think Satan was sad because of this? No, indeed. He loved it. He wanted them to suffer even more because he wanted them on his side instead of with God. Well, what about Job? You remember when the sons of God, or sons of man, presented themselves before God and Satan came along with them. And God said, have you considered my servant Job, that there's none like him, a perfect, upright man, one that fears God and eschews evil? And Satan said, yes, I've considered that. But let me tell you something, God, if you tear that fence down that you've built around him and you quit giving him all these things and making sure everything is going to prosper, if you take that away from him, he'll curse you to the face. God said, I don't believe it, so I'm going to give you a chance to do that. So he gave him opportunity to take away the things that he had. You remember how that he took away all the wealth that he had, all the flocks and herds and all this kind of thing. His children were all together at a birthday party, and a storm came up and blew the house down and killed all of them at one time. And all this seemed to happen just almost immediately, almost like in one day's time that all these things were happening to him. And when they came together again, God said, now have you considered my servant Job, that even though you set me against him, that he still has not cursed me, he has not turned his back away from me, rejected my commandments? And Satan said, well, let me tell you something. Touch him. Touch his flesh, and he'll curse you to the face. And so God gave him opportunity to do that. You remember how that they were sore boiled from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet. And he sat in ashes and took a piece of broken pottery and scraped himself. He was in so much pain. You think Satan cared for this? No, Satan wanted him to suffer even more. But anyway, Job went through all of it in a good way. Well, what about Jesus? You know, Satan tried to get him to worship him. He said, I'll give you all the kingdom of the world if you'll just fall down and worship me. But he would not do that. Well, what did Satan do? He went on and turned Jesus over to the sinners, and they put him on the cross and crucified him on the cross. Do you think Satan felt the pain as the spikes were being driven through his arms and through his feet? No. He liked it. He loved it when Jesus died on the cross because he thought he had won the battle. But he didn't care how much he hurt. He wanted him to hurt even more. And that's the way he is with us. He don't care how much it hurts us when he tempts us to do what's wrong and we turn our backs upon God and we can't sleep at night and we toss and tumble in the bed because we know that we're guilty of sin. Satan doesn't care. He likes that. We're talking about the spikes that was driven in his hands somewhere in my things back down in Alabama. I don't know. I couldn't put my hand on it right now. But somewhere I've got supposedly replica of the spikes that was driven in his hands and in his feet. It looks about like a railroad spike, only a little bit smaller, a square spike. But there was a blacksmith that made that for me, and I've got it somewhere in my things down in Alabama. If I run across it one of these days, I'll bring it and show it to you. But all the pain, the agony that Jesus went through, Satan liked that. He thought he won the battle when Jesus was crucified on the cross. But God raised him from the dead and gave him to be head over all things to the church. And actually, Satan was bound by this, was put under the foot of Jesus. No longer is he able to come into our lives, force his way into our lives, because God takes away his power. Now, let's go to the the Thanksgiving part that I wanted to get to. I told Hunter yesterday, I said, Hunter, when I started writing down all the things I was thankful for, if I'd have kept on, you'd have been getting home for dinner instead of lunch today. But I cut it a little bit short. I didn't write down that many, but I have enough for us to think about, I think. I'm thankful that God limits Satan as to what he can do to us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, it says, God is faithful, who will not allow us to be tempted above that which we're able, and will with the temptation also make a way of escape that we may be able to bear. I'm thankful that God has Satan bound. It's almost as if he's got him on a leash, and Satan can only do what God allows him to do. So I'm thankful that God has limited Satan as to what he can do, and that he watches and does not let Satan tempt us above what we're able to bear. Now, if we make the excuse sometime, well, I can't live the Christian life. Yes, you can, because God said, I'm going to see to it that you can. Satan's not going to tempt you above what you're able to bear. I will make a way for you to escape. If you'll just look for it, it's there. So yes, we can live the Christian life if we want to. I'm thankful that God loves me and wants me to be saved. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So I'm thankful to God that he loves me enough that he wants me to be saved, and he wants me to be there with him and to be in eternity with him after this life is over. I'm thankful that Jesus came into the world to save sinners. In John 3 and verse 16, it says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, when Paul was talking about Jesus coming into the world, he said he came into the world to save sinners. Paul said, of whom I am chief. Now, I think all of us at one time or another think of ourselves as being the chief of sinners because of sins that we may have committed, things that we may have done that we ought not to have done. But I'm thankful that God saw fit to send Jesus into the world that he might make a sacrifice for us, that our sins could be remitted, that we could be saved from our sins. I'm thankful that he made it possible for me to be adopted into his family. In Galatians chapter 4 and verse 5, he says, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Have you ever thought what that means? That God has adopted us as his children. He's our father. Jesus Christ is our brother. And so we can be in that family of God. And what an honor it is that God saw. He didn't have to do that, but he did. He made it possible that I can be adopted in as his son and be a part of his family and be entitled to the great inheritance that he has there for us. I'm thankful that I can have the hope, yea, the assurance of salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ. In Mark 16 and verse 16, it says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And so I'm thankful then that I can have that hope of everlasting life. I know when I do what God has told me to do, then I'm promised that everlasting life. And I believe that he'll do what he said that he would do. It's impossible that God should lie. And so it shows here that if I do what he tells me to do, then I'll have salvation. If not, then I'll be condemned. I'm thankful that Jesus went to prepare a place for me, and that he's coming back for me. He's not going to leave me here. He's coming back to get me. In John chapter 14, beginning with verse 1, going down through verse 3, and I'm quoting from the King James Version, as you may have already recognized. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, then I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So Jesus Christ has gone to prepare a place for me, and he promises that he's coming back after me, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that I can be in that better land and that city whose builder and maker is God. Now that's that new land that we're looking for. One day the boat's going to sail away from here, and we must be on that boat to go to that new land that is built by God, where the builder and maker is God, the city that's built by God. And in that city is that great white throne of God, where everybody will be gathered around that great white throne and singing praise unto him. Now, just like when we talk about when Tim gets up here and leads singing, we get all involved in the songs, and it kind of makes you chills go up and down your back. Can you imagine what it's going to be like when we're around that throne of God, singing praise unto him, singing the new song? And so I'm thankful that I can be in that better land, that I can board that ship that sails off into that better land. But you know what else? I'm glad that you can go there too. It's for you as well as it is for me. Now, Jesus Christ has made it possible, and God has made it possible for us to do so. He's made it to where we can board that ship. We can sail away to that better land, the one that God has prepared for us, where we can be what we need to be. We can worship him. And so, let me urge you, don't miss the boat. If you're not ready to go, then you need to make ready today, because we don't know when the Lord is coming back. It may be today, it may be tomorrow, it may be 1,000 years, but whenever it is, if we miss the boat, then we're in bad shape. So if you're not ready to go, then whatever you need to do today, then do it, make it right, that you can be ready for that boat when it sails away and you'll not miss the boat. You need to obey the gospel. Won't you do that while we stand together and sing the song that's been selected?
Yes, for me, he careth with loving tender care.
Yes, with me, share each burden and each share. Yes, for me, he watcheth, watcheth night and day.
Thank Brother Bobby for an excellent lesson today, and it's just I like what we're doing today, because we're going to be reading a lot of the physical blessings that we have, but like I was saying, there's a lot of spiritual blessings that we always need to keep in mind, because there are so many, and Brother Bobby brought out a lot of those, so thank you very much. So at this time, we're going to prepare my take of the Lord's Supper. To help us do that, we're going to be singing the song, Thank You, Lord. Again, sometimes it's a song we sing for the offering, and it makes total sense to do that, but it's also a good song to help prepare our minds as we think about the sacrifice that Christ made for us. Truly, we need to be thankful for that, because without that, we'd be lost. So truly is something to be thankful for his indescribable gift of sending his son to die upon the cross for us. So we'll be singing both verses of Thank You, Lord. Sing.
For all that you've done, I will thank you. For all that you're going to do. For all that you promised and all that you are is all that has carried me through. Jesus, I thank you. Just for me, how I thank you. Christ, I thank you. Gratefully thank you. Thank you. For all that you give, I will thank you. For mercies abundant and new. You changed me completely, your will I can do. With blessings so loving and true, Jesus, I thank you. And I thank you, Lord. And I thank you. Thank you for loving and setting me free. Thank you for giving your life just for me. How I thank you, Jesus, I thank you. Gratefully thank you.
So much that Brother Bobby has already given this morning, I want to refresh our minds again on some of those points. Going back to the very beginning of time with Adam and Eve, we see the temptation that the devil brought forth upon them. The many, many blessings that they had, but yet the devil was able to tempt them and overcome that. And they had to suffer in their lives because they were set out to make their own living as it was with the brambles and the bushes and to raise crops and to have cattle. But yet we know with Adam and Eve, they did not lose their faith in God and they still worshiped God. They had to overcome the sins just as mankind has ever since, but yet follow God and be able to overcome those things. In their life, besides the temptation in the garden, they suffered in their own family, the battle between their sons, and they lost one of those. So we see how sin remained in the lives of mankind as it grew and grew and grew, even down to the time of the flood, how man had just simply almost totally turned against God and living their own way, living the life that the devil has given to them. But yet, as Brother Bobby says, the suffering just got worse and worse. That didn't matter. That was a praise to the devil. And on through the Bible, we see many of those same things. But as we look toward Christ, we know that much suffering he had to go through. But yet we read in the Old Testament where his prophecy was and who he was and who he was to be and what he was to bring forth to mankind. So as we see the life of Jesus unfold upon the earth, we see the teaching that he brought forth. I remember the feeding of the 5,000 and what that really meant. It came down to the fact that he took a very small amount of food, he blessed it, and with 5,000 people plus more, there was plenty left over, plenty of baskets of food left over. What did that mean? What did that mean? Jesus had said, I am the bread of life. What does that mean? I am the word of God. The bread of life is what I bring to you that will save our lives Christian lives, that we will have that great promise of eternity in heaven. And of course, another incident of the same thing happened. And many blessings through that Jesus brought forth. But we come down to the crucifixion. And we see the great suffering that Jesus had to go through. And here again, we see so terrible it was, but yet he overcame it. More than once, he overcame the temptations of the devil. Because he was God, and God cannot be destroyed. God himself cannot be broken. Many temptations came before him through his people down through the time. And even now, that goes on with the way mankind has become. But yet God made a way of salvation, and that was through Jesus Christ, the perfect gift, the perfect example, the perfect gift that God gave to us through his crucifixion, the giving of his life, the terrible things that happened to him upon the cross. Always thought about one of the old scripture prophecies was that, talking about Jesus when he came, that not a bone would be broken in his body. Well, that came true upon the cross when they pierced his side, but they did not break his legs. To me, that has a meaning. That means that to me, that the Word of God cannot be destroyed. The Word of God cannot be broken and tore down. That's the foundation. And the piercing of the side, to pierce, to cut, however you want to describe it, to me that simply means, if you look up the true definition of cutting or slicing or whatever, it's dividing of the flesh, dividing the bread of life upon the cross. And of course, the blood that was shed, the washing away of our sins. In Jesus, as we call it, the Last Supper he had with his apostles, he set forth these symbols. He set forth these examples that we have to take of the bread, take part of it. There's always plenty left over. And that's the way the bread of life, the body of Jesus, the life of Jesus is. There's always left over for more and more and more, always. So when we partake of this, he said, take, eat these things. Do this in remembrance of me. All of this that I've said, we look beyond what did happen, had to happen, and we understand that above all of this, we have that great blessing that we obey God, live that life for God, and overcome sin. And he made a way for us to repent of our downfallings, but to repent and clean up our lives every chance we can and do. That's what Jesus said. Do this, do these things in remembrance of all that God has given and what I have brought forth and given to you. That's what I want to always remember when I partake of this and when I think about it day in and day out. That's what it means. The great blessing that God has brought forth for us. And such a blessing it is. Do this in remembrance of me. Let me get this on first there. Let us pray. Dear God, we do thank you so much, beyond measure, as we live our lives and strive to follow thy will, live a life that is pleasing to thee and following thy will. Dear Lord, we're so thankful for all. We're thankful for that sacrifice that Jesus gave. And as we understand the examples that we partake of here, the bread, the blood, or the fruit of the vine, we understand what they are and what it means and what Jesus did and what you have brought forth in this world of sin and all things. As always, you made a way for your people for them to accept or reject. Who are they going to follow? We're going to follow God, or we're going to follow the devil. That's what we remember, and that burns in our mind constantly, that we strive to live our lives and do everything that God wants us to do. Thank you, dear Father, for these sacrifices. And as we partake of the bread, we remember what it means to us and what it does as we strive to live that Christian life. Thank you through the name, the blessed name of Jesus Christ, and amen. Amen.
Lord, as we come before you this morning, we thank you for your gift of the fruit of the vine, of Jesus' death on the cross so that we might live forever with you. We ask that as we partake of it, we will partake of it in a worthy manner for your Son. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Also, we take this time to be able to give thanks to God for our means of living that we have, and also be able to give back to the Lord to support the work of the Lord and strive to do all the best we can to worship in truth, in knowledge, and all things. Dear Lord, we're so thankful for that. So let us give thanks for that which we can give back. Would you like to give thanks for this?
Lord, we come before you once again, thanking you for all that you've given to us, all the blessings you've given us, and thanking you that you have allowed for us to give back a portion to you of what you've blessed us with, that we may help others and help the work of the congregation here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Though I through the valley of shadow or mountain or trouble see, and oft in the darkness have traveled, the Lord has been mindful of me. The Lord has been mindful of me. He blesses and blesses again. My God is the God of salvation. How excellent is his name. I
Good morning.
Good morning.
Always love the worship service when we can come together at any time, but also especially today when we have a chance to kind of share some of the thanksgivings of those that are here and just kind of recognize all that's good and as we enter this Thanksgiving season. I want to start by opening up our Bibles and reading the 100th Psalm. And it says, "Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gate with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations." So we have a number of thanksgivings that have been turned into us today, young and old. I will start out by saying I am thankful for some of the young ones who want to participate, but I'm also thankful for the moms who can help translate what they wrote. So, Tim, I don't know. You want me to do mine and then you do yours, or are we going to do them together, alternate, or how you want to do this? Okay. All right. I am thankful for cookies, books, Emmett, family, turkey, milk, school, my teachers, my friends, my mommy, my toys, and my daddy. We are thankful for so many things, but to list a few that stand out this year, our family and precious grandbabies, the church, doctors and nurses, police officers, our country and those who fought for our freedom and those who continue to serve in the military. And the older we get, we are thankful for Tylenol extra strength arthritis. Probably get an amen for that, right? I am thankful for our church family and the love that we have one for another, for the elders and their guidance. I am thankful for my family, the blessing of grandchildren, and the new adventures our family has taken on this year. And last but definitely not least, I am thankful for the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. It's that hope that can help all of us make it through this crazy year. I'm thankful for family and friends, my two nieces, Riley and Olivia, gummy bears, Oreos, golf, and Alabama football. Now, that is not my list, although I could probably say amen to a lot of those. I also received this from Alabama this morning, and hopefully Maybe one day they're going to get to come and visit so all of you that can meet them. But Bobby's sister Martha and her husband J.D. this morning called specifically to say that they are thankful that they are able to worship with us all the way from Alabama each week. And they've been doing that through our Facebook Live program. So we are thankful that they are able to be with us. Okay? All right. Thankful for God and His infinite love, grace, and mercy, for His perfect plan of sending His Son to teach us the pattern to follow His will, and who paid the debt of our sin. Thankful for the words of life, God's word, and the power within it. For where would we go or where would we be without it? Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Also in Psalm 119:105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I'm thankful for our brothers and sisters in Christ who have always shared in our joys and bared our burdens. You constantly uplift us, and we love each and every one of you. I'm thankful for the elders of East Austin Church of Christ. Eldership is not a luxury that is afforded to every congregation. We're very thankful for Kevin and Tim's willingness to care for and guide this congregation. I'm thankful for our physical and mental health and well-being, especially during this difficult time living through a pandemic. AC is extremely thankful for everyone's thoughts and prayers during his heart procedure and recovery. Thankful for living in a country that allows us the freedom to exercise our rights and liberties. We're thankful for all the service members and families, both past and present, that have assured that freedom. Thankful for the ability to work for an honest wage and earn an income. God supplies us with every need and more. We're thankful for the basic necessities of life, the food in our pantry, the clothes on our back, the roof over our heads, the beds where we lie, the vehicles that we drive. The list is never ending. I'm thankful for the heavenly home being prepared for all of God's children. John 14:1-4 says, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going. I'm thankful for God, for music, for family, mom, dad, baby sister Millie. I'm thankful for friends, for planet Earth. Thankful for their trees, for their oxygen, for food and water, and I'm thankful for our dog, Rusty. The year 2020 really makes you count your blessings. I have a house with heat, AC, water, electricity, and all the food and toilet paper I need. I had grass to grow, a little yellow tomato plant that produced abundantly. I have friends that called on the phone to visit, so I was never lonely for a human voice. I'm thankful I've seen results from answered prayers. My Sunday service was visible on Facebook. By the way, I never wanted Facebook, but my son did give me a useful tool. Thank you, son. Kind of like God sent Jesus whether I wanted him or not. I can live without Facebook, but never without my Jesus. I am thankful for Jesus and all that he has done for me. And Tim, if you don't mind, I'm just going to save mine for the last. So, all right.
You know, I'm thankful for a lot of things, but I don't know how you can read that far away. So I know I'm getting a little older because I'm just watching you. I'm like, should I stand up there? Because I need the pulpit because I need to, like, right here. So we'll see how it goes. All right. So I am thankful for my dogs. I am thankful for my family. I am thankful for my home. And I am thankful for my stuff. And just to realize that, you know what, I'm just thankful for all that is around me. That's truly a great thing. Thankful for family and friends. and for food and for freedom of religion. Also thankful for good health, for employment, very important considering the environment we're in sometimes, and thankful for good friends and family. Thankful for family, for health, our jobs, Emmett's growth and development, Nora's resilience and kind heart, our church family, and Mr. Bobby joining us. Amen to that. God's grace and prayer. I like how this one starts, because it's interesting to see some of these that are list form, or some that it really just brings a thought, and it's really interesting. This one's pretty interesting. Thank you for this pandemic that helped us learn new things and help us spend more time with our family. Thank you for helping us learn new experiences for school and how to work at home. Thank you for my home and for my loving family. You know, it's hard to think about when I first read that, thank you for the pandemic. Huh. But really, when you think about the focus that it has forced us to look at, I'm thankful for a lot of things that have come from that. I'm thankful for so many things. A wonderful family, a loving church family, friends that are no matter what. I am thankful for God providing our family with health, jobs, food, shelter, and each other. I am thankful for coffee! Exclamation point. Most of all, I am thankful for God and for sending us His Son to live a life without sin and be sacrificed for us so that we will one day have eternal life in heaven if we follow His words. He is merciful and awesome. While this year has been a challenge because of the pandemic, I am still thankful for a lot. I am thankful that I had the ability to work and have a job, knowing a lot of people were out of a job. I am thankful that I was able to go to school. While it was online, I'm still glad I was able to still attend. I am thankful for some of the knowledge I have gained working with people over time of the pandemic. I am thankful for my family and thankful for the time I got to spend with them at home. And while it took a while to get everyone back, I am glad that we got to come back together at church. And I'm glad to see my church family. Absolutely. In our early years of life, through our younger years, middle age, it was not really in our future thoughts to reach the decades of the 2000s plus. In our lives, every year, bad and good happens, but we always know God will help us through the bad and strengthen us with the good. The year 2020 has been a year of trials in our life, in family, church family, but the wonderful blessings of God helps us through every trial. In our family, we have been blessed with a new great-grandson. Two of granddaughters have been blessed with new homes. Our oldest son lost his job due to the virus, but that came with the opportunity of a new job location, which proved to be a better job-wise and location. No one in our immediate family has had COVID-19. For that, we are so thankful. Our faith in God shows how truly God does and is blessing us every moment. We are able to worship with each other on the Lord's Day and have encouraging messages on Wednesday. God has blessed us greatly with our elders and Brother Robinson. We continue to pray that God will bless us and all who worship Him in truth and in spirit. Our God is an awesome God. Things I am thankful for: the East Dalton Church of Christ and my family at East Dalton Church of Christ. I am thankful for those things as well. Now I'm going to go ahead and share mine and let Kevin go ahead and share his. Mine are all over the place because I'm like jotting these down as they just come to mind. I didn't just sit down. Things just come to mind. Ask Jennifer, I've got post-it notes all over the place. Just I write stuff down. It's there. They're all over. I'm thankful for God, Jesus, heaven, and prayer. Enough said. I'm thankful for friends and family. Jennifer and the boys are truly a strength to me and an encouragement to me, and I couldn't be more blessed with the family that I have, with them, and with my mom and dad. Truly a blessing. I'm thankful for my church family, the resilience you all have shown through this time, those that are able to be here, and those that are able to join us online. Truly, it's a blessing that we have that, and again, that we can all come together. The strength of those that can't be here, but to continue to want to be a part, and again, join us online. I don't always like to name names, but there are ones that are always there with Jim and Carla, Pam, Pat, Shirley, Brantley is always on there, and the ones from Alabama that are on there. And the ones that can't be here on specific days, like the Dugans aren't able to be here, I know they're watching today as well. So truly it's a blessing that we have the means to be able to do that. I'm also thankful for the support and encouragement you all give me and Kevin. It is a blessing to have you guys always encouraging us. And I'm thankful for the encouragement of those that chime in on Wednesday when I do my talk. When I started doing that, I was nervous as I could be because it's just kind of odd talking to a phone sometimes. But I try to see past the phone and try to picture everybody that I'm talking to. So, and those that chime in. And I'm just trying to be an encouragement to you. You are being an encouragement to me, so thank you. I'm thankful for Bobby being here and the great lessons, and it's truly a blessing that we have him here as our preacher. And I'm thankful for Kevin and Deborah and the support they give Jennifer and I as we work as a team. It's pretty cool. I'm thankful for the health of so many and the answered prayers for so many that have had health issues, surgeries, or whatever it may be. We see the evidence of answered prayers each and every day. See, I'm all over the place. I am thankful for Gwen's nodding, and I'm thankful for Gwen's uh-huhs, and I'm thankful for Gwen's amens. I literally just wrote that down this morning.
Amen.
Because, I haven't got to run any races this year. It's really been stinky. But one of those things that really gets you going when you're running in a group is that kind of cheering you on, and it's just kind of a boost. I take that when I'm talking up here or I'm singing or whatever it is, and I hear that, that's like this boost. And I don't know, y'all should feel that too. I've seen a lot of nodding. It is. So thank you for doing that, and I encourage more of that for sure. But it really is. I think, to me, worship service is interactive. We're all a part of the worship. It's just not one person up here just doing one thing. And I think we all need to get involved in that. So I'm thankful for everybody that does that because we do a great job of that here. So I'm thankful for all of you and thankful for all that you do. And I'm thankful for the Lord for all he has blessed us with.
He did much better than I did. He actually wrote down a list.
They say that familiarity breeds complacency. We get comfortable in what we do. We get used to doing it. Maybe we don't challenge ourselves the way. And I think 2020 is a year where that complacency has been challenged all the way around. And, you know, when you think about COVID, or you think about the social unrest that we faced, or you think about all the political craziness that we went through, you think about the fires in the West, the hurricanes in the South, you think about those that have lost their jobs, or those that are used to working in an office that now are working at home, and they're trying to teach their kids or make sure their kids are online with school. I mean, so many things have changed this year. You know, this is a year that I turned 55. It's a year when I had my 30th wedding anniversary, which means I'm just getting older on both accounts. But in that year, I've got a new granddaughter. I've got a new preacher. I got a new roommate. Happens to be the same. I taught my youngest son how to play golf. And in that, now my family, because of the COVID, we've become a golfing family. Even Deborah's joined in. So I'm thankful that we've been able to do that. But really, my thanksgiving goes back to each of you, because when you were not here, when it was just, what, the six of us, seven of us, eight of us, one, two, I can't count, eight, when there was just the eight of us, it was empty. There was an emptiness not only in the building, but there was an emptiness in my heart because you were not here. I'm thankful that COVID has allowed us to come up with a different means. The eldership has been talking for many years about a way that we could do things so that those that couldn't be at worship could still be a part of it. And COVID forced us to come up with that. And instead of fancy cameras that can Zoom with great auditory, we've got a cell phone sitting up front that's helping us so that those that are away from us. But my thanksgiving goes to you. And it's for your being back, for your encouragement. I got to thank Jennifer and Deborah because they have been great partners through this. You know, it's not easy having to now make little pieces of bread and stuff them in those packages and take the cups and put the tops on them. I mean, it takes time and effort and energy, and they have been phenomenal throughout all of this. So I definitely want to thank them. I want to thank Bobby for his great lessons, not just those that I get here on Sundays, but it's also the ones that I get at home, the one that challenges me to be a better father and to be a better husband. And what a great example it is to have somebody in my home that's now given me that example. You know, I want to thank those of you in this congregation that may be older for the examples that you provide, for those that are younger, and the encouragement that you give, and kind of that extra zeal and that energy that you give for us that are growing older. I want to thank you for that. I want to thank the men and the women who participate. The men for your leadership and helping us with the worship service. And I know we're kind of getting back into you helping out, but you've always been willing to do that. And for the women who are the ones that's behind the scenes, encouraging us, pushing us into the aisles to get out there to be a leader within the group, for helping give encouragement to some of the members maybe that can't do so. For members like Don and Marcella, who I know struggle every day, yet I promise you they are praying for every one of us. For Jim, who may be out there alone, but I know he is praying for every one of us. Their work has not stopped just because they're not here. They're still part of this family, and I think they're great examples for all of us. For Carla, who hadn't been able to come, yet I know every week she is in God's Word, and she's looking to see what she can do to be a better Christian. And I think that's a great example for all of us. So I thank you for that. I read Psalms 100. And why should we be thankful? Because the Lord is good. He's ready to forgive. He's good. He's merciful. And we know that every good gift comes from the Father. Why should we be thankful? Because God's mercy is everlasting to those who love Him. And the Scriptures tell us it's also to those who fear Him. Why should we be thankful? Because He is faithful, not just now, but to all generations. We need a reminder every once in a while, and I think we've got it in 2020, that this is the best place to be among people who love the Lord and who love each other. Tim.
Jennifer pointed out to me, so we had two people comment during this that they've... Paula said she had allotted one Kleenex to make it through this, and that one has been spent, and she's on to more. And also Pam also is, okay, now I'm crying. So you know what? I get emotional too, so I'm choking up a little bit too. So, but again, what a wonderful service. You know what? Thank you all. You know, even if you didn't write stuff down, I know you have it in your heart that you are thankful. And sometimes it's just hard to put it down on paper, and I get that, trust me. That's why I kind of sketch it out as I go. But just always be thankful and remember where everything comes from. All good and glorious things come from God, and He is truly a wonderful Father to us. We're going to have one verse of a closing song, and Brother Dale has our closing prayer. Of course, the obvious songs, maybe I hit or did not hit, but I can't not sing Count Your Blessings. Literally what we've been doing here in the service today. So we are going to sing verse 2 of Count Your Blessings. And again, thank you all so much for who you are and what you do, not only for your family, your physical family, but for your spiritual family as well. So we're going to sing verse 2 of Count Your Blessings, and then we have our closing prayer by Brother Dale.
Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does your cross seem heavy? You are called to bear. Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God had done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done.